children can be dismissed as they already are dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Good word. We're having a lot of encouraging things with some of the literature that we're reading, and for leadership with the Irresistible Church, and then Sunday school with Contagious Christian, and just building and developing on different aspects of things, and they're all good. Amen. Well, today I want to get into asking you, how bright are you? You're thinking, uh-oh, test. How bright are you? If I was like you out there, I'd be getting up and going for water, go to the restroom right now, and then go out the front door. I'm out of here. How bright is not asking you how bright you are intellectually. I'm not asking that. You guys are all smart. But we're going to look at the brightness of your walk, and do people notice? And we're going to take the scripture out of Matthew 5, and you get into Matthew 5, 14, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." That's good. Amen. And so as we get ready to go into this, I want to also begin to, a thing that happened like yesterday, it was kind of interesting, and, you know, maybe that's why I didn't know that the team that we were rooting for hit a home run, because I was thinking about other stuff. I don't know. I didn't realize they hit a home run until I was watching on the highlights this morning on the news. It's like, they got a home run? Wow. No wonder the score was so high, you know. And I'm there at the game. So even being at the place, paying attention, you miss things, don't you? And I think we can do that same thing at church. We can do the same thing in our walk with God. We can do the same thing reading His Word and all that. But thinking about this light, and we are light in this dark place. You know, Christ working through us, we're not talking about the illumination of what when God spoke in Genesis about let there be light because there was pitch black out here. But we're talking about a light in the realm of people noticing and the things of God working through us, and people notice that it's a light. But anyway, just thinking of yesterday, I was coming back from Milwaukee, and we were blessed because of our birthdays, Dean's and mine, that we were given tickets and taken to a Brewer game, and it just so happens that it was, you know, Dean's favorite team, Cardinals. I just go along for the ride. Cardinals, okay. But she's an adamant Cardinal fan. I like Cardinals. I pick them over the Brewers or anybody else like that, you know. But anyway, we go there. And last year, my daughter that has taken us and her fiance, they gave us shirts that, you know, have Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. It's in red. And the weirdest thing is, last year we went, that was pretty cool. People notice you. Hey, good. Hey, oh, hey, you know, good and bad. Well, this year I went up and I put it on yesterday, and I'm thinking, do I really want to even put this on? Because I don't want to draw attention to myself. I would just put a regular casual shirt on and go in amongst the enemy, you know? Because we're on enemy territory. We're flashing Cardinal colors in Brewer country, man. You know, we got to walk across this parking lot, and who knows? You know, there's people throwing balls around, these little corn sacks and all this stuff, and they're having a party out there, and everything's happening, man. There's a festivity going on, and it's just a ball game. So we get there, and I did wear the shirt. My wife wore hers, and I said, she can do it, I can do it. I can man up. So anyway, we go there, and we're both wearing red shirts, St. Louis Cardinals and all that. And walking across the lot, there, of course, was a lot of Brewer fans. You know, you see Brewers this and that and that and this, and then you see pockets of red Cardinal stuff here and there, you know. And I don't know any of these guys and families from Adam. But as you're walking through the thing in the crowd, and there's somebody over here, and they see your shirt, and they're a Cardinal fan. They go, hey, go Cardinals! I go, hey, right on, we're going to whip them today! You know, you kind of get into the whole thing, man. It just draws you in. And it's interesting, because as you go through, and I, you know, Cardinal fan here, and a Brewer fan here, and I walk between them, this guy here will say, hey, good shirt, like your shirt, da-da-da. Brewer fan didn't say anything like that. Didn't say, hey, good shirt. They're eating their brats and having parties and stuff, you know, tailgating. And we went through that, and standing in line, I went to get a drink of, I didn't realize, you know, it does not matter how much you pay, Pepsi tastes the same. I could pay 25 cents a can, or I can pay $4.75 for a drink, and it's all the same. I don't know where the difference is. No. Anyway, I'm standing in line to get a refreshment towards the sixth inning and all after the Cardinals are just blasting away at the, the Brewers. My gosh. So anyway, I'm standing in line there, and this guy is behind me. All of a sudden, he starts talking to me, you know, and is like, hey, I like that shirt. Oh, boy, aren't they doing good? And I look around. Well, you quickly affix yourself to, like, a logo. Oh, St. Louis Cardinals on his little shirt there. So it's a brother in the team, man. So I go, yeah, good game yesterday, which was Friday night. I didn't watch it. I heard my wife yelling downstairs about it, but I didn't watch it. I was just throwing some things out there. Like, I understood that, you know, the Brewers had 6-0 in, like, the sixth inning or something like that, or the fifth inning, so it was going to be, oh, they're going to win all the way. Well, come the closing of the game, it was like 7-6, Cardinals won. So I knew that. So I was able to kind of throw the guy a little bit of thought, like, yeah, they did good last night, didn't they? We thought it was down and out when it was 6-0. I had enough of the terminology and stuff that I kind of fit in with the group, but I was totally out of place, you know? And so anyway, you know, he said, yeah, I was at a bar with my buddies and all that, and we thought it was going to be just, you know. And all of a sudden, they rallied back. And I said, yeah, and I said, look at the day, man. You know, and by then it was like 8-2 or something like that. So it looks like there's a win up for us again, you know. Maybe they'll sweep the series here, you know. I didn't know if they were playing today. I didn't know if that yesterday ended the series or what. So I'm just kind of like, you know, a duck out of water. But I got the shirt on. It makes me look like I'm official. Because the St. Louis Cardinals, anybody's going to wear a shirt that's, you know, notating the team, they must figure you know stats. I don't know nothing. I was asking Dean about the seventh inning, too. I go, is the same pitcher pitching from the first inning? Yeah. Oh, okay, because I'm not really paying attention to all these names and stuff out there. But I was thinking that, you know, there's this message about the light of Christ in us. And we're in a place that we're not a part of. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are an alien going through. We're just passing through this place as those of the child of God. Amen? And so as we go through this place, we ought to have something on us that people recognize that, hey, you're not from around here, Lou, are you? You're from the other team, you know? The world out there, the God of this world, has blinded the eyes and the hearts of those of the world, you know, and we've already come wise to that, haven't we? Can't get us on that one, devil. Well, I know that. And so we're out transversing this life, and God is working in us, and we go by people and this and that. But now, you know, even though, and you'll only find that generally like in the sports arena type thing of when you're in probably the foreign land. And that's another thought, because I didn't see a lot of Brewers people high-fiving themselves there, and that's all a lot of Brewers fans are. I guess it was just commonality that this is our turf, you know. But you get somebody from an opposing team that's coming in, you've got to look for camaraderie. You've got to look and say, hey, there's some guys over there and over here. If we get into a fight, I'm heading that way. No, not that. Not that at all. I wasn't going to get in no fight. But that's what notices. People draw out because they notice there's less of them and more of the enemy out there. So they see somebody with a red shirt that matches theirs. They go, good, good, good. And everybody's, I was enjoying it, man. I was kind of lagging behind Don and Melissa and Dean. They're walking up there, and I was like slowing down and going like, you know, I was like getting into it, man. It's like Melissa turns around and goes, Dad, what are you doing? I go, I'm giving a thumbs up to my Cardinal buddies here, man. You know, don't know them, never seen them again. They're, you know, lifting probably all kinds of alcohol. She goes, oh, you embarrass me. I said, well, if I'm wearing this shirt, I'm already embarrassed, okay? Because I just don't wear a lot of shirts with a lot of stuff on it. So anyway, we had fun, and it was a good game. But just notice that how the world sees those things, and people stand out in the crowd by what they wear, by what they say, by what they don't say. We as Christians, we as Christ followers, we as Christ light in us, as he said here in Matthew, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Now, I could have put that cardinal shirt on, and then I could have put a jacket over it. Nobody would have known, would they? But I didn't hide it.
But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify Father in heaven. They're going to see good works in you, and eventually they're going to say, well, give God the glory. It's because it's not us, it's Him working through us. So we just need to be that light. Something else I don't understand, it's like, why do people pay to sit next to each other really close? You know, we got seating here where I kind of even spread them out a little bit because people, in actuality, people don't like to sit right on top of people. You like to have space. You ain't going to find that at a ballpark. They would take those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seats there, they'd put another 4 in there. I don't know how they do it. Once you get in there, you ain't getting out. You know, you're... And he's like, what now what? I can't even jump up to get a foul ball. I was like... You know, they just clamp you in those seats, man. You're automatically clamped before you even know it. It's like all of a sudden those seats, you fit, you go in really good, but trying to get out, it's got those bars over it, and it kind of catches your size. It's, you know? And I'm not the only one. There's people out there because I said I got to, before the game started, like an hour before the game, we're down there, and I knew this was going to be bad. And it was really bad, and where it was located, there were great seats, and I appreciate going there. It was fun. But I just don't want to be in the middle of a row that's twisted and all that, and I can't get out if I want to get out. It's like, it ain't going to work. Because for me to get out here, the aisle was over there, I'd have to have all these people stand up. I felt so bad. Before the game started, there's two people in the very first seats for me to sit there, and I said, well, I did have to go to the restroom. I said, I'm going to go, excuse myself, go to the bathroom, okay? Get this all ready. Maybe I can get sit in the seat better. And so I felt bad having these two people before the game started. I said, excuse me, I apologize. Can I get through here? You know, I'm pretty polite. Everybody else just gets up and go. You know, it's like, whoa, 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 let me stand up. Let you out of here, man. So I made a decision that I'm not going back down there. I will find some place up here. And I found a beautiful place. I said, I'll buy these seats here. I'll pay twice, whatever those are, three times, man. Because those individual seats up there were like handicapped or people that don't want to sit down in the crowds, evidently. And I was like one of the only five or three or four in that big row that was up there. But people enjoy getting into the crowd like that because there's something commonality about all that. They forget that they're sitting next to somebody they don't even know. The person behind them is, you know, talking. This one here is doing this. And you're amongst all of that, but they're there for a particular reason because there's something that they enjoy about being in all that because it's not really where they're at right there. They're focused on what's taking place out there with their teams. And somehow, if the teams are doing well and they enjoy the game, then it really doesn't matter what's going on around them. They're having fun. So there's other lessons there that God, I was just thinking, Lord, could you imagine having a church service and try to tell, you know, you're going to put 50 people in a place that only holds 10? Come, you know, ain't going to happen. But you look at life and you go to games like that and you just notice people and notice the mentality and the thought process. And it's like, yeah, Lord. My shirt stands out, even though I'm in this area, but people know and they talk to me and all that. And I really wonder if your light shines through me even when I'm in Janesville, that people see you and they see that, hey, excuse me, you're not from this place, are you? There's something different about you. What is it? I hope and pray that more of that or that would even begin to develop, don't you? That people would open up, and that's one of those contagious Christian things to where it's an opening question. It's just something that you can, if you're listening and you're comfortable with it, that you should be able to then respond back with a dialogue of bringing Christ into this conversation, bringing God, bringing whatever it is that this path is leading you on. But before that path gets started, you've got to do something that causes that person to come to you that might open up and ask you something that's just very generic or very whatever, and it begins to go down the path that God has. So let's look at just some of this stuff here. And it started off already. You know, I'm not talking about your intelligence. Illumination. Illumination, that's light that comes into a room that shines on something. And I think what Christ is saying here, and Jesus is saying that, you know, let people see your light. Let your light shine on them. And we know that we're in a world of darkness, don't we? Darkness out there all around us. Now, you go out there and you tell people that on the street, like your friend, neighbor, whatever, family member, say, you're living in darkness. And they're going, you're crazy. I can see the light. The sun's out here. What are you talking about? And, well, I'm talking about spiritual darkness. You don't really see what's really going on. You're frustrated and aggravated and hurt and despondent and rejected and mad and this and that. And you don't really understand why you're like that. You think it's external forces out here that are really playing on your mind and playing on your psyche and all that. But there's a battle going on in that spiritual side that if you aren't enlightened, if you've not been enlightened by the Word of God, they don't have an understanding of it. So they look at you like, what are you on or not on to think that I'm in dark? That's like sunny out. But it's also, when you talk about illumination, it's also talking about illuminating knowledge or an understanding that you have. Ties into that spiritual or intellectual enlightenment as we are enlightened with those things. I just read you about Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Good works, what are those? Amplified will say, your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, your noble, good deeds. Let men see those things working in your life. That's the light. I'm not talking about walking around with a pin light and all that and turn it on in a person's eye and say, here, I want you to see the light. Psh! It's like, get that out of my eyes, you wacko. But I want to go up to that person and say, let me show you the light. Let me show you being trustworthy, noble, deeds, and things that are good. And glorify your Father in heaven. So we find that Jesus is sharing with his disciples and others, right after this is coming out of the Beatitudes, and they're looking around and he's sharing with those and some others, of the further importance of being a follower of his. And that's what he's talking about here as far as, okay, guys, we've already talked about the salt last week, and he's already before that. Before he talked about the light, the beginning of that talks about be salt. And we shared a little about that last week. So I thought, well, let's just cap it off with the light. I wasn't really going to go into it, but we are. So here we are. To have light, that means to have darkness. If he's talking about light, there's got to be something opposite that, right? Darkness. So Jesus already knows there's darkness, and we're talking about that, or the spiritual darkness, the thing that the devil or the God of this world truly wants people to walk in. Even though there's natural light out there, they're walking in spiritual darkness, spiritual death. Now we look at this and we find that to talk about light, there's got to be dark. You can go back to Genesis and it talks about darkness there. Quickly in Genesis there, you find that in 1:2, where it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then in 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it goes on. But this is the light of illumination, I think. This is the light to get away from chaos type of a thing and shed some light. Haven't you ever talked about, boy, and something's confusing to you, you go, man, I got to shed some light on this. We got to shed light on this stuff. But Jesus' reference to his followers of being light is talking, I think, more not physically being light, but in verses 14 to 16, we find that Jesus has said that he was the light of the world in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. And so his disciples must be light. You, if we are a disciple, you must be light as well. It would be foolish to hide a lamp under a bowl. A lamp gives light to the people in a dark house. A light also shows the right way to go. Lights light the way, don't they? Have you ever gone down a dark road and trying to find your way? It's pretty dark out there, isn't it? I'm amazed. I don't know how the police department finds house addresses. Because a few times I've been around riding at night, I don't see nothing. It's like, how in the world, of course, that's why they got spotlights. And they got lights on their light bars that turn on to the side, and it illuminates as they're going down the street. So, when you see those coming by your window, it's either the pizza deliverer or it's the cop. I don't know. I'm like, wait, honey, did you order a pizza? No, it's the police. Hit the deck. But even the signs in the city are not all in the same place. I complain to them all the time, like they can really do a lot about it. I said, this city has terrible, you know, street signs. I said, one of them is over here, the next block it's over here, it's small, it's this, it's that. There is no consistency and continuity. And so at nighttime, to me, trying to find your place around the city is really hard. Look at that in the spiritual side. As we go through this life and as we've been put in this place, you're here for a plan and a purpose of God, you may look out there and say, oh my gosh, it's dark, I don't see where I'm going, I'm stumbling, I'm hitting my toe, oh, these things are happening. But there is a light out there if you get hooked into God. And the light and what Jesus is talking about here, and let's look at this a little bit more here. So Christians should allow people to see their right actions. Christians should obey God because they believe him. People need to see that. People need to see you having faith and trust in God. Right? They're looking for something like that. There's people that I've talked to, guys, and I've shared just snippets of things, and they're dealing with maybe struggles in life, and things are just terrible and bleak and all that. And I tell them, you know what? I said, yesterday and the things that happened this past week, maybe they were terrible for you. But you know what? Today is a new day. Tomorrow is another day. God's mercy says they're new every day. And so focus on that. You know, and that's sometimes sharing it with people that are out there, you know, looking at a lot of stuff in our city that deal with a lot of stuff. And so they get jaded. They get depressed sometimes. They get like, what's the use of this stuff anymore? All these people out here, they're 2% of Janesville, they're the ones that they see all the time, you know? And so they get jaded that way sometimes. And just talking to this one gentleman, I just said, you know what? I said, and he was sharing some things with me and all that. You know, we had training this past week for a whole week for a peer-to-peer type counseling. And he was an officer, and he was kind of talking to me a little bit about being a pastor one-on-one, about letting steam off. Boy, did I talk about you guys. No, I said, yeah, it's frustrating at times, you know. Not that you guys are frustrating, but just things in general of trying to get things hooked up to God and activities and people growing and maturing and hungering after. But I said, you know, every day is new, and I got to keep focusing on that and just going on and saying, but God, it's up to you, you know. We're just going to remain faithful in what we do and just throw it out there, and whatever happens is going to happen. But I said, you know, I focus on God and what God means in my life. And I said, once God really got a hold of me, I said, my faith, my trust, my hope is in him. And so that's how even pastors, how we deal with things day in and day out. We can get kind of frustrated in those things at times. But, you know, it's just that ability to know, you know, where does my hope come from? Where does my help come from? You know, it comes from him. So people need to see that. They need to see God working in your life. And then Christians' light can also show people the way to live. They can mirror their lives after you, right? Not that you're perfect and all, but people look at other people to say, I want to kind of follow what that person's doing. It seems to be working. That's kind of nice. Look what's happening. This is developing. That's wonderful. And so they might stay there and say, I want to see and be a little bit more like that person. It's not that they're kicking God out and they're honoring and worshiping you as their God, but I think because of examples that you are exemplifying to those around you, they see something good. They see a quality that they go, that is a good quality that if I had it in my life, it would probably make my life maybe be a little bit better, or it'll help me understand things a little bit more. So people look at you and they want to see how you live, and may want to try to be that same way. They can warn other people who might be making bad decisions. So a city on a hill is easy to see. Jesus' disciples are like that of a city. They cannot hide the way they live. A Christian's good actions should be so attractive that other people will praise God for that. So now let's get into some things quickly here as the morning is quickly fleeting away. Looking at some information about believers and that of the light of God. We are children of the light, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. We are children of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, New King James says, you are the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Does that fit you? You read that as a child and a son of God, a lady of God, you know, men and women, as we look at this, that you are sons and daughters, okay, of light and sons and daughters of the day. We find that in this, that it's in contrast to those who do not believe in the Lord. Paul here is describing all the Christians at Thessalonica as children of light. Light represents life and also goodness. So, children of light are those who have God's life, and they are trying to do good. Some of them may be weak or doubting in their faith. The writer here is encouraging them by saying that they are all children of the light and of the day. Once they were in darkness, but now they have been born, into the light. This means that now they are not like the people who are living in the darkness. They know that the Lord Jesus will come, and when he does, they should be expecting him. His coming will not be a surprise to them. And thinking about darkness and in night, you guys know this, but just think of this. When it is night, you can't see where you're going. We cannot see what's coming to us. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus are like people who walk in the night. All who believe in the Lord are like children of the day. They are the people who do not belong to night. They don't belong to the darkness. They can see where they're walking. They can be ready for what's coming. You're walking in the light of Christ. If the light of God is in you, if you got that within you, and the light we receive, we're going to find here that his word is the lights our path. Amen. It's a feet and a lamp unto us, Lord. Hallelujah. And so as that, we are going to see where we're going. We should, by that of the light of Christ in us, be able to see what's coming your way. Don't you realize that if you can see the enemy out there, the devil, trying to come and snare you, try to trip you up, try to put false things into you, try to get you off track with God, if you are the light of Christ, if the light of Christ is in you, that should illuminate that coming at you to where you can see that and say, that is not of God, that is of that of the enemy, of the devil, and I cast that down. I'm not going to allow that to trip me up and to snare me into this trap and to bring me back down. But if you're walking in darkness, are you going to see that coming? Generally not. If you're walking in darkness, it'll just snare you, trap you, and it'll just take you further. Now, there are those out in the world that are not of the light, not serving Christ. And, you know, as much as we look at it, the devil's not too concerned with them, but yet he's still out there messing with their minds. He's still out there just trying to create a terrible life for people. And even though they're going down, you know, they might stop here and the devil says, I want to take you further down. So he visits them some more and tears them down more and it's coming down. But they don't see that's the devil coming at them to tear them down. Where we as Christians, we as children of light, we see that and how the enemy wants to snare us and trip us up and tangle us and get us away from God. And so he's going to try to sneak up on you. But let that light shine. Illuminate your surroundings so that you can see those dangers that are there. When it talks about here about, you know, my goodness, you are the light of the world, and the city that's set on the hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men. I believe as much as it shines out and people see good, positive things, you know, godly things coming from you, good examples, nobleness, and all these praiseworthiness, not that it's you, but it's God working through you, that light, that they will see that. Be drawn to it. You know, what happens when you turn on your porch light in the summer? Man, bugs. Where did they come from? They were all out there in the dark, weren't they? But all of a sudden you turn your porch light on, and if it's the, you know, June bug time of the year, man, you feel like there's somebody throwing pebbles at your house. Poom, 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 poom. Like, what is going on? Moths, bugs. Yeah, you open your door to try to get in. My gosh, it's like you got to have a secondary light away from your door to first turn on. You got to be pretty sneaky, man. It's like the enemy out there. You gotta go. Okay, my door is here. I'm gonna put a light just on a pole, you know, 15 feet over here. And when I pull in the driveway, I'm gonna turn that thing on first. So all these moths are flying around here, and they go over there. And as they go over there, I turn the porch light on here, and I run in. You gotta be sneaky, man. Because if you don't, which I don't have a light off to the side, so I'm one of you like you guys, whenever I go in the house and I've got the door, I'm going like this. And there's usually three or four on my back. And when I get in the house and I shut the door and I'll turn the lights off and I'm sitting in there in the living room watching TV, all of a sudden across the front of the TV I see some kind of thing going, zzz. I go, oh, man, one got in. The enemy's in the house. Get the fly swatter. But they will hitch a ride on you coming into your house, man. Well, the devil's like that. He'll like to hitch a ride on you. He'd like to kind of sneak up on you a little bit and just kind of attach himself somewhere. Now, it's not feeling so bad. But when you got a little of the devil in you, that's all you need. Because it's like that of mold. It's like something that grows old, you know. It's just like it just starts festering and it just starts getting rotten. And so you, as children of light, you've got to be able to sense that, recognize that. What grows in darkness and dampness? Mold. And, well, mushrooms, and we eat those. I don't know, that's good, I guess. But if you want to grow mold, just, you know, look at something that's moist, closed up, just has enough moisture in it, but dark and all this stuff, and you find all kinds of funny, colorful things growing on them. Had that been exposed to air and no moisture, so to speak, if it was exposed to maybe light, those little spores wouldn't grow, and we wouldn't have that. So that's what happens with sin in our lives. If we let just a little bit of that come in, you know, it talks about in his word, a little leaven, leaven's the whole loaf. Just a little bit is all it takes to begin destroying something from within. And so with the light of Christ, if we're walking with this, if we're letting your light shine before men, as much as I think they see that in you, it helps you see yourself in Christ. And when you see yourself in Christ, you begin to notice when you're doing things that are not of Christ, and pretty soon you go, I can't do that anymore. Well, now we call that the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding us and directing us, and he's convicting us of these things that we might be doing that are more sided to the dark side rather than the light side, but the Holy Spirit's there to kind of nudge you a little bit to say, I don't think Father in heaven's going to be pleased with that. You didn't respond the right way to that person. You sounded very angry. You were actually having an argument with that person. That's not the right thing to do. You were mad at that person. You hated that person. Oh, no, hating that person, you just murdered them, his word says. You thought this. You think this. It's like you've done it. And so all that the word of God is trying to help us do is to keep our light bright. Because people are looking for the real deal. The real deal. If you're the real deal, God will work through you. And I'm not saying you got to be a super duper special deal, but you just have to be the real deal in the things of God and be understanding what God wants. And when you make a mistake, admit you made a mistake and ask for forgiveness and then move on. Don't get blocked down into that and don't let that mistake be like that of mold to stay there and it just tears you up and to the point to where before you know it, you go, oh, I'm not going to be good for God for nothing and how is he going to really want to work through me because of what I've done or what I've did or didn't do, blah, blah, blah. And you keep that on rather than throw it off. Repent. Cast it away. And keep walking with God. So we find that. People are looking for the real deal. And as children of God, you got the real deal. You don't have to be somebody you're not. You don't have to make, you know, like, ooh, look who I am, and look at I am, and I'm a church attender, and I do this, and oh, God loves me. No, you just walk your life out. Let people see the real you and the real Jesus. Because here's what we find. We're saying, well, I can't find my way. We find that God's word is light in Psalms quickly, 119:105. Psalms 119:105. It says that they're saying, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many people here by reading his word has helped you in directions of your life? Who would have thought that by reading something here in black and white or in the red, that it would be so powerful that it will change your course of your life to something even better? It's like it illuminated my path. I can see where I'm going. I can see where the pitfalls might be and to stay away from those things. His word does that as far as helping you stay away from those that could drag you down, those areas in life that could be a hindrance to you, those things in life that could draw the things of God away from you. Stay away from them, he says. You know, you got to guard your heart. Amen. That's why his word says, guard your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And boy, we say some bad things at times. And sometimes when you say those things, you look at yourself in the mirror going, did I really say that? Did I really phrase it that way? That is so bad. Oh, do a heart transplant of some sort and renew that a little bit, you know. But your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, as his word says. And also, we must be light to the world around us. So we're just bouncing around here on some light scriptures and things that we're to be. But in Philippians 2, 14, 15, and 16. Philippians 2, 14, 15, 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Has anybody found that perverse generation crooked? We're in it. The world is out there. It's happening before our eyes. Among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world. Like Chris was sharing about the importance of a lighthouse on the rocky shore of land. You know, that lighthouse may be out there for weeks, days, months, and really didn't do a whole lot, but very faithful, and every night when it got dusk, that light came on. Just turn around, just say, hey guys, if you're out there coming this way, be careful. There's rocks. The water gets, you know, shallower. There's a whatever, you know, things out there. And it could be just for that one ship that passed by coming through that area for that particular time. So after that happens, do you think the guy that controls the lighthouse goes, well, that wasn't, well, there's only one person out there this past week. I think next week I'm not even going to turn the light switch on anymore. I just keep it turned off and save power. And then if I hear somebody screaming or hollering for help, I'll turn it on real quick. Well, I tell you what, guys, by then it's probably too late. You can't turn the lighthouse on after the fact when the boat hits the reef and breaks up. Now you've got casualties out there. And you better not just turn the light on. You better call for the Coast Guard. You better call for help. So that lighthouse comes on, and so faithful to be at those points to let people know on boats, stay away, or, you know, come through this way here, or guiding lights through the harbor so they know how to get through the problems of coming into that port. You are that light. You can be that light. Wouldn't that be great that you are that light that, you know, you're on all the time. You're not on just at nighttime. Your little light's on top of your head just spinning around. You know? And people can see danger there, and you can see danger there. And you might be talking to a friend and say, hey, I you know, this is what I heard, and I hear you're going through this and all, and I just want to say you might want to be careful because, you know, I had something like that, and this is what happened. You know, those opportunities are coming up and sharing things of God. You just don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to come about. All I know is I bet it's going to come about because God will put you in those circumstances. You really don't have to work, I don't think, of sharing your faith with those around you. God will bring people to you. He will just, your work, your family, your neighbors, strangers, whatever the case might be, they'll just come across your path, and there they are. Maybe they're drawn to you, and they're coming across your path because they see light in you. Maybe they're like the moth to that light. They're coming over to you. Anybody ever had a friend like that just kind of buzzed around you and said, yeah, get away from me. No, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. Share the gospel first, and then say, get out of here. No. Send them on their way. No. You know, people will draw to you, and I think that's what the Spirit of God will. He'll draw those things to you. And then quickly, you know, must be the light around the world. So we shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I have not run in vain and labored in vain and all this. Our path gets brighter. Do you know that the longer you're with Christ, your light gets brighter? Isn't that awesome? That as you go through life with Christ, the more that he puts in you, the more things he keeps putting into your spirit and teaching you by that of his word and by maybe messages that you hear on a Sunday or maybe a Sunday school class, maybe a midweek, you know, study, all this type of stuff. As God just keeps putting things into you, all he's wanting to do is just keep getting you brighter, guys. brighter and brighter, not to be intelligent, you know, and look how bright I am, but to be bright and to be able to help people out in that lost and dying world that's so dark. So it talks about in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is like shining sun. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. Many people who are not Christians want God in their lives. You hear that, don't you, at times? They really don't have a whole lot of God, but when something happens, or they look for God for help. They know that they are in danger. They're like someone who travels at night. Christians should speak to them. We should share what God has given to us, what he's done for us. God will help those who ask him. When these people first trust God, they will know little about God. But in time, they will grow, just like you, just like me. We've all been growing in this, haven't we? We've been maturing, perfecting of our faith, growing, maturing those things in our lives. In time, they will want to know more, and as they live God's way. And in heaven, they will all know God fully. We will all know it by then, won't we? A path becomes brighter as the day begins, as they begin to walk that out with Christ. And then in closing, well, there's a few more things here, but in closing. Well, we'll just leave it at that. It's just okay. Okay. Encourage you to stay hooked up to God. To be that light. To be that help. Because that's what it's about. We're here to help people. Someone helped me get to where I'm at in this faith. You know, I know God had a whole lot to do with it. You know, planned it out. All of us have that destination that God has for us. But, you know, I could have missed it had I missed that appointment with that person that maybe spoke so much into my life. Maybe it was two or three or four events in my life that I can remember back to that now it all lines up, that I could see the hand of God moving me into an understanding more of him and how this is all to be working out. So it may not just be that one person. You might be, I think as that one guy said in the video we had even this morning, you just might be a chain in the link of what God is doing in that person's life. All you've got to be is just that link. You don't have to finalize it. You don't have to, you know, go on further than what God has you to do. But just do your part. And I think as we walk it out in love and compassion of Jesus, I think as we allow that to really amplify that light before us. You know, if you want people to pay attention to you, to really come and understanding and want to know more of you, just walk in tenderness and mercy. And just that. And people will come to you because they're looking for that. And it's not to judge them, and it's not to say, well, you deserve what you got and you should know better than that. It's to say, man, you know what? It's rough and it's tough out there. But let me share something about what God has done in my life. And you just begin to flow. Maybe they'll say, hey, I want him now. Maybe they'll say, well, you know what, Tim, that's good for you, but I just don't really think of that right now. It's like, okay, man. But I just want to share where I was at and how God is important to my life. I'll keep you in my prayers, and I hope things turn out better for you. And if, hey, you know what? If we can ever talk again, or if you would like to talk, feel free to let me know. You know, if you want to go out and do this or that. So that's those things. And I've got to learn more of that conversational type thing of just being able to just springboard from that into something else. And if that's where it stops, that's okay. You know what? I'm just part of that link that God has in that person's life. I have had many links, I'm sure, to get me to where I'm at here. Praise God for each one of those links. Because if one link had failed, it could have broke that whole chain of events, couldn't it? Just be faithful in what God has asked us to do. I want to wait on you for your time of